Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The death toll from the earthquake that hit Syria and Turkey 10 days ago is now more than 39,000. We've taken you to Turkey a few times since the earthquake. Today, we'll check in on Syria. While the country confronts the huge task of recovering from the earthquake, it's also dealing with the continuing violence of the Russian-backed Assad regime and 12 years of civil war. The Assad regime has only just started letting aid and international support into the affected areas this week. Louisa Lovelock, reporter with our editorial partner, The Washington Post, was recently in Syria. She's now in Turkey. Louisa, welcome.
Thank you.
You've been in northwest Syria, which was one of the worst hit areas by the earthquake. Can you describe what it's like there and the extent of the damage?
Yes, well, I've been to Syria twice in the past week. I've been to visit the two areas which are under the control of Turkish-linked armed groups, spending most of our time in a town called Jinderis. And it really is one of the worst affected places that we know of in Syria. We went on Friday for the first time, and at that point there were 850 people confirmed dead. By the time we returned on Tuesday, it was 1,200. And when you drive through the town, entire blocks have been shattered. We saw families digging with their hands for loved ones in the rubble for lack of equipment. Mm. We saw other families standing in crowds as they sort of watched what constitutes the organized rescue effort. But really, it's an incredibly crude effort and one that is probably damaging a lot of people as they do come out, if they come out alive, which is increasingly rare. They're using these excavators, which frankly are incredibly crude tools for the job. As I say, they're actually doing more harm than good to the survivors. And it really stands in contrast to what we've seen in Turkey, where, you know, I was watching a team from the Iranian Red Crescent a few days ago pull out one man from the rubble, and it took them 6 hours because they used about 7 or 8 different types of tools and painstakingly went through the rubble bit by bit, cut the rebar, moved him as carefully as possible. And in Syria, you have all of these people still under the rubble and nothing really to do the job with.
So Louisa, why? I mean, it's literally just across the border. Why is there such a marked difference between what's happening in the rescue efforts in Syria?
Well, the simple answer is it's just that aid hasn't got through. They haven't had the equipment to do what they need in the rescue effort. They haven't necessarily had the specialist equipment to do what they need to do in the hospitals. First of all, this is a country that's been at war for 12 years and capacity in the northwest is severely hampered. Rescue crews who have been used to pulling people out of the rubble and out after the bombardment by the Assad regime are exhausted, they are depleted, they do not have the resources they once had. And even if they did, you know, this is a tragedy of a magnitude that with a death toll that makes the war's death toll on any given day, week or month pale in comparison. And this is something that a lot of people will say to you when you talk to them about the things that their areas have been through. They say, you know, they've been through hell often for 12 years.
Well,
and then this
happened. I want to ask you, because you reported on a particular hell, which is children who have lost their parents and their families. Tell me about the children and are you encountering a lot of them?
There are a lot of them. We were reporting on this issue when we went back a couple of days ago, and we had wondered initially how to find these children. You know, do you go to orphanages? What sort of orphanages exist? Are they in the hospitals? But actually, it just took walking into Jinderis town centre to ask about the issue, to ask if anyone knew who was affected, to have pretty much a crowd full of people put up their hands and say, yes, I know someone, I know someone. Mm. You know, my sister died along with her husband, and you know, the children are orphans. And those stories came over and over, and we started to realize just what the scale was.
And one of the children is a 12-year-old who was found and now is with her uncle. Tell us more about her situation and what happened to her.
So she was asleep when the earthquake happened, along with her family, and everyone apart from her in her immediate family was killed. She was pulled from the rubble. Her twin brother, Rashid, didn't make it. Her other siblings didn't make it, and nor did her parents. When we spoke to her, As with many people we've been speaking to throughout this tragedy, it was very clear that she was still in a state of complete shock. She was staying with her uncle, her aunt and her uncle, and they were, you know, vowing to make her their daughter now. They said, you know, mm-hmm. she will be the apple of her eye. They said, mm-hmm. you know, we will treat her like a princess.
Yet they also told you that they worry about how they're going to have the resources to do that.
Exactly. And as I say, this is a part. This is a part of the world that has suffered so much through conflict and through economic crisis. And the northwestern pocket of Syria is particularly economically deprived. And as this gentleman was saying, making these, you know, wonderful grand statements about how much he loved his niece and how much he wanted to do for her, he did say to us separately, "I don't know how I'll do it because there is no work." Particularly in the aftermath of the earthquake, there's going to be even less. He had his own children to look after. They were struggling to put food on the table. And this is a situation that is replicated in houses, towns, cities across Syria now. And it's very hard to know what is going to happen to these children.
Well, Louisa Lovelock is with The Washington Post. She's been reporting in Syria. Thank you so much for your reporting. And we'll link to her latest story at hereandnow.org. Thank you, Louisa.
Thank you for having me.